Now, of course, last couple of months, I've been doing these mass reflections every other week. 2 weeks ago, I talked about how important it was to prepare for Mass, to prepare ourselves spiritually and mentally for Mass. Well, now we've gotten to the point where we're here and we're prepared for Mass, so now we're going to actually talk about what is going on during the Mass. And we're going to begin with the entrance chant or the entrance hymn. Now, when you look at the general instruction to the Roman Missal, which is our rule book, if you will, it tells the priest how to celebrate Mass. You know, the guidelines of what to do, what not to do, what to do when, and what to do where. Well, it points out that there are four purposes to the entrance chant and the entrance procession. Now, the first one, I think, is probably one of the most obvious. It opens the celebration. When we begin with the hymn, we really are beginning the celebration of the Mass. The Mass doesn't begin when the priest starts here, or it doesn't begin when we're all lined up in the back. It actually begins when the procession is going on and when we start the hymn. Second thing it points out is that this hymn or chant accompanies the procession of the priest and the ministers into the sanctuary, to the altar. Now, this isn't merely just some music to get the priest and the ministers up here. There's actually a spiritual dimension to the procession, and the music plays into that. You know, if you remember the gospel reading from Palm Sunday that we do, it shows our Lord coming into Jerusalem in triumph. He's being cheered by the people. You know, they're laying down the palm branches, and they're laying down their cloaks in front of the donkey that our Lord is riding. And it says that they were singing hymns of praise to our Lord, to God, for our Lord. Well, in the same spiritual way, the procession in is a symbolism of that, of entering into the heavenly Jerusalem, which we believe comes to earth here during the Mass. But there's a second spiritual component that it should remind us in our daily lives, that we are on a spiritual pilgrimage. Throughout our lives, we are on a pilgrimage to that heavenly Jerusalem, to join our Lord, to spend eternity with our God in heaven. The procession at the beginning of Mass shows us proceeding towards God, but also shows us being accompanied by Him during this procession. So this procession is more than just getting the people in place. It truly does have that spiritual meaning. A third purpose of this hymn that we sing, or this chant that we do, is that it fosters the unity of us gathered. It should bring us together. You know, when we walk into the church, we have our doubts, we have our concerns, we have our worries, we have our joys, we have our things that we're thinking about. You know, our mind, you know, if you're like me, when you walk into the church, you've got 500 things on your mind, and they're pulling you in different directions. Well, when we begin that hymn, we should lift up our voices as one voice, joining together in unity as a worshiping body of Christ to worship our God. Finally, this hymn should bring us to thinking about what the Mass of the day, what we're doing in this Mass of the day. Now, this part is kind of difficult for the musicians, and it's hard for them to plan for this, because ideally, what the music, the entrance antiphon or the entrance hymn should do, it should be based off of the readings for the day. That the message that we hear in the reading should also be heard in the hymn to point us to the message for the day. Now, this comes into something that we've lost practice of doing here in the United States, especially. And I mentioned an entrance chant or a hymn. Now, of course, here in the United States, we very much do hymns. You go to almost any church in the United States, and you've got hymns. You know, they got hymnals just like we have here. They sing the same hymns we do here. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good option. But there's another option which is more traditional. That is to use an entrance antiphon in a psalm which is chanted, much like we do the responsorial psalm, where there's antiphon and then part of the psalm, and you repeat the antiphon. This is a very traditional practice. Unfortunately, we've lost the practice of it here in the United States, and it's not easy to do because the materials for it aren't easily available. And then, of course, again, people don't know how to do it. So this, a long-term goal, I think, would be to move over to that, But this is very long term. This isn't going to be any time in the near future. You know, for now, we'll continue to do the hymns and do it with great joy. But it's just, I just want to kind of mention that so that you'll be aware that there are other options out there that we could be doing and may do one time. After the priest has come forward and everybody's gotten into place, we begin the Mass with the sign of the cross. And of course, the sign of the cross, we always can, I think, is kind of become thought of as how we begin prayer. And it's true. It's how it should be how we begin and end all our prayer is with the sign of the cross. But the sign of the cross itself is a very powerful prayer. Because when we say this prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we are invoking the Trinity. We are bringing the Trinity to mind. And we are asking them to be with us. Very powerful thing to ask the Trinity to come down and be with us. It also is a profession of our faith that we do believe in a triune God, in a one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It should also remind us of the unity that exists within that Trinity. You know, the Trinity is the ultimate sign of unity, and that we as Christians should be united to one another by that unity as well. We should also be united with one voice as the Trinity is united as one. And finally, the sign of the cross reminds us of the salvation which our Lord gave us during his death on the cross. That it should remind us that we too are called to sacrifice as our Lord sacrificed. We are called to sacrifice our self-will. We are called to sacrifice our self-desires. We're called to sacrifice our false pride, our pride that leads us away from God and leads us to our internally. So the sign of the cross should remind us of all that. And we do this, again, every time we make the sign of the cross, but especially here at Mass. Following the sign of the cross, we have the greeting. And the words of the greeting that the priest uses come to us from St. Paul, the one that I frequently use: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That comes to us from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. There's another greeting that's common, you might commonly hear: grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. This shows up in 8 of St. Paul's letters. So these greetings are very scriptural. They come to us from Scripture. Well, these greetings, when you hear them, they're not just a merely formalized way of saying, good morning, how are you? That's not what they are. That's not their purpose. They're actually a blessing. You know, you notice, especially the first one, the Trinity is mentioned. Grace to you from God our Father, love of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We bring about the Trinity. It's a blessing from the priest invoking the Trinity upon you. Again, a very powerful blessing. In response, of course, everybody responds, and also with you, or as the new translation will have it, and with your spirit. Now, if you've ever looked at or you remember the Mass before it changed back in the late 60s, early 70s, that was the response, and with your spirit. Now, this change is very important. And that's, by the way, the Latin never changed. It's just in the English, we went to the, and also with you. But I think the change brings about an important point about this response anytime we use it. It's not a response to me as a person. Oh, and also with you, Father. Hey, you know, how you doing this morning, Father? You know, that kind of thing. That's not the purpose of this response. This response instead is responding to Christ acting in and through the priest at Mass. When the priest celebrates any sacrament, we say that the priest acts in the person of Christ. In persona Christi is the old Latin term, if you ever heard that. The Mass and the sacraments are not about me. They're not about the priest. They're about Christ who works through the priest. When we make this response in with your spirit or in also with you, it's responding to Christ in the priest. Now, this is important to point out because as we're going to go forward in the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking about the penitential rite. In the penitential rite, does it make any sense at all if it's just the priest acting up here, if it's just the priest doing it? But if it is the words of Christ speaking through the priest, it makes a lot more sense. So it's important to realize that when we do this response, anytime we say, and also with you, that we are responding to Christ and not to me in particular. So we'll continue on with this in a couple more weeks, but it's just getting started with our reflections.